just enough, amen. He's more than enough, amen. I like that. Brother Charlie asked me to preach Wednesday night, and he sent a tornado to make sure that I didn't. Amen. So I thought I was off the hook, amen. And Brother Charlie called me and asked me to preach today, but on a serious note, I'm just joking around, by the way. I thank God for every opportunity I get to preach. And really to do anything for the Lord is just a privilege, whether it's cleaning the carpets or standing up and preaching. It really doesn't matter if it's for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all to the same end. So I want to thank God for that. Thank God for our church. Amen. And the family that we have here. And thank God for His faithfulness. You know, there's just something to be thankful for every day. I mean, in all things, maybe not for everything, but in all things, the Bible says we can give thanks. So I want to thank God for that. I also want to thank God for encouragement. I wasn't going to say this, but I am going to say it now. This morning, Brother Charlie was up talking. I don't know what he was saying. But while he was talking, whatever he was saying, it popped in my mind. I leaned over to Miss Anna and I asked her if she's ever learned anything from me. You know, I was curious. And with assurance, she nodded her head yes. You know, so I thought that was a good thing. And we sat there for a couple seconds and she leaned back over to me and said, "What not to do?" Amen. So thank God for encouragement, amen, is what I'm trying to say. So now I'll tell you where to turn in your Bibles. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Proverbs, chapter number 3. It is a blessing to be at church tonight. I thank God for it. The Lord's kind of been burdening my heart about something here lately, and I want to try and get that point across to you tonight. And actually, it kind of goes a little bit in line, I would say, with what the theme for Ladies Retreat is, and that's Lead Me to the Rock That Is Higher Than I. Now, that's not what I'm preaching, but it is along those lines. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, and I'll preach this with God's help. A very familiar passage of Scripture, a verse that you've probably quoted 100 times in your life, and no doubt that you've heard quoted and preached about hundreds of times. It's Proverbs, chapter number 3, and we're going to look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." I don't know if you know this tonight. I know we quote it all the time, but that's a hard thing to do. It's a tall task to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how many times I do that in my life. You're talking about with all your heart? Amen. That's a big deal. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding." Verse number 6 says, "In all thy ways." That's a tall task again. Amen. In all thy ways, everything I do, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall. Thank God for promises. Thank God that God gives us scriptural promises to abide by and live by. It says, "And He shall direct thy paths." Father, I want to thank You tonight for just really, where can you start? Just start with who You are. Thank You for being merciful. Thank You for being gracious, Lord. Thank You for being faithful. God, tonight I thank You for the fact that You are God and You're not man. You're not like me, and I thank You for that. Lord, and as we preach this message tonight, You know the need of our heart more than we know about ourselves. So, Lord, I pray that we would submit ourselves to Your hand and open our ears and our hearts and our minds to what it is the Holy Spirit has to say to us tonight, God. I pray that You would help me, uphold me as I try to preach this message that You've given me, and that ultimately it would come and to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank You once again just for all that You do, Lord, for Your blessings to us, Your goodness. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, in Your precious name, I pray these things. Amen. So with these two verses, I'll start off by saying I want to preach on something tonight that is, you know, that is hard for me and you to do. And you find out that there's a lot of hard things that we have to do in our life. And this is probably, you know, I don't know how to rank things when it comes to spiritual things, but this is something that is hard for us to do. But it's something that all of us must do. If you're a saved, born-again child of God, if you're a Christian tonight, this is how you must live your life. If you want to have joy, if you want to have the desires of your heart, this is how you must live your life. And I want to preach on this subject tonight, trust and obey. Trust and obey. You will not find many harder things for you to do in your life than to trust and obey. Amen. There's a lot of things I could think that I would like to do for the Lord, and a lot of things that people have done. I think of Brother Linton and Miss Lisa that went over to China and established a work that they said that couldn't be done. I consider that to be a great thing to do for the Lord. Amen. I think about the ministry that Brother Doss has down in Honduras and the work that's been built there and all the people that have been helped, all the people that have been saved, and all the children that have been brought in from off the streets. And we look at these things, and I look at these things, and I say that those things are a great work for the Lord. And I probably would think that most of you agree with me. But if I were to ask these people, and you can look at Brother Charlie and say the same thing, but if you were to ask these people, I think Miss Lisa would tell you this, Brother Charlie would tell you this, what's harder than any of that, than establishing a work or doing any great thing for God, is this thing right here in your life, and it's simply trusting and obeying. Amen? Because this is something that you must do every single day of your life. It is your calling, it is your duty, and it's commanded of you by God to trust and obey. Amen? And it's a hard thing for us to do. The definition of trust is a firm belief in the reliability. Isn't God reliable? Is He reliable? The reliability, the truth. Oh, He's true. His Word is true. I mean, we can trust in that. The ability. This is a Webster's Dictionary definition, by the way. This isn't a spiritual definition. This is a secular definition. A firm belief in the reliability, in the truth, in the ability. God is able to do anything and everything that He wants to do. Amen. And actually, the Bible says that He's able to do exceeding above all that we could ask or think. And I don't know about you, my imagination is crazy. I can think of a whole lot of stuff. And when I get done imagining and thinking about stuff, the Bible says that He's able to do more than that. Amen. I can't comprehend that. So what can I say about that tonight? You can trust Him. Amen. You can trust Him. A firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability or strength of someone or something. Can I tell you tonight that we are leaning on the everlasting arms? He's able. He's got all the strength in the world. That old song, Jesus Loves Me, that we sing to our children, the end of that song says, we are weak, but He is strong. Amen. I thank God that it doesn't depend on my ability. Me trusting God has nothing to do with my ability. It has nothing to do with my ability to comprehend or to understand. God just tells us to trust Him. This is a hard thing to do. You know why? Because trusting involves not knowing the end result. And I don't know about you, but that makes me uncomfortable. Not knowing what's going to happen. But you know what God instructs us to do? Trust Him. I'll tell you, a lot of things could be solved in our life. A lot of problems that we're trying to work out with a pen and a piece of paper and with our own logic and our own ability and the power of our own flesh and our own strength. You know what a lot of that would be solved by in your life tonight? And I don't know what it is, but I know that everybody has something in their life. Amen. I got something in my life that I'm talking about right now. And you do too. Amen. We all got something that we're thinking about that God wants us to trust Him for. And the problem with trusting is not knowing what's going to happen. Amen. Like Brother Charlie, you step out on God and find out that He's able to do it. Amen. This is what trusting is. It's not knowing. Trusting is also a forfeiture. That's a hard word right there. Amen. A forfeiture. That's a hard word. It's a forfeiture. It's you giving up your own self. Amen. You know what God doesn't care about one single bit is our own ambition. Our own plans. You know, God doesn't care about that. You know what He wants you to do? Trust me. Trust me. In all of our lives, we are faced with this responsibility, no matter if you're serving in the most obscure place in the world or whether you're a great missionary on the mission field, this principle applies to your life. Trust Him. But there's a second part of this, and it's obey. Oh, this is hard for us to do too. Trust and obey. Amen. It's a tough thing to do, and I know this because from the time that you're born, I mean, and I don't have children, but I do have nieces and nephews, and I know this is the case. I mean, from the time that you're born, it is against your nature to want to obey anybody. It's against your nature. It's a hard thing for you to do. And I mean, little kids, they do things that they shouldn't. You go tell them, stop doing that, and they look at you and they say, why should I stop doing this? Why do they do that? Because it's in their nature to not do what you want them to do. Amen. And they want to know why. You know, this is natural in you. No matter how old you get, this truth of obedience is unnatural to you. You understand that? You understand that it doesn't come natural for you to submit to God because you live in a body of flesh? It doesn't come natural for you to trust Him and obey Him and just say that God's going to take care of my life and keep your head down and do what you should? It's a hard thing, man. Trust and obey. The Bible says that the Lord would rather have your obedience than your sacrifice. But you know what you find out? And what I find out about my own self and my own heart is it's a sacrifice for me to obey. It's a bigger sacrifice than, say, I'm going to give this up. No, if you're going to submit and obey God, it's a bigger sacrifice than you can imagine. But I thought about this and I thought about trusting and obeying. You know what this is? This is a very good description of your everyday life. You trust and you obey. Paul talks about the inward man being renewed day by day. Brother Boggs, if you were in his Sunday school this morning, he talked about progressive sanctification. Amen. You know what that means? I need to be in the Word of God every single day of my life. Why? Because if I'm left to myself for more than 5 minutes, I go the wrong way. The theme of my life, the theme of your life, no matter where you are, is this fact and this principle, trust and obey. You know why we have a hard time with this? Because, I'm just talking about myself. I think about how I think about things. I'm very bad about thinking about life in plateaus and different tiers, you know. And we're all guilty of this. You think about serving the Lord and you wonder in your mind, man, when I get there. And then you get there and you find out that it isn't really what you thought it was going to be anyways. Right? I mean, life is not about a spiritual high. It's not about a roller coaster. It's about the everyday walk with the Lord. It's about your relationship with Him day in and day out. Sure, life is not about reaching plateaus. It's a continual climb. Amen. And what is the goal? Amen. It's a relationship with God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 3, that I may know Him. You know, Paul's greatest desire in life was simply to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But trust and obey. How's that going in your life? I struggle with it, I'll be honest with you. Trust and obey. Now, when I think about this kind of stuff, I think about certain things, and it makes me realize that this will always be your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much you've accomplished for the Lord. When you're born, when you get saved until your last breath, every day is trust and obey. And the reason, one of the ways I thought about this, you look at people who have served the Lord for 40 and 50 years. And I know he's sitting here, but I think of Brother Charlie. He's lived his life for the Lord. And you know what? He still suffers heartache. Amen. Those of you who have been serving the Lord for 40 years and 50 years, and see, the reason that we have a hard time with this is because as human beings, we always assume that things are going to get better. Amen? You wait for the day, you wake up every day and look ahead to the... We always want to see the light at the end of the tunnel, amen? You know, sometimes there's not light at the end of the tunnel. Or sometimes the light that's at the end of the tunnel is an Amtrak train headed your way, amen? I mean, that's what life is. And that's a very good truth in our life is you don't reach plateaus. God is never finished working on you. He's never finished working on us. We sing once again. What we don't realize is all these children's songs that we sing to our children are really the whole truth of Christianity. And I think of that one tonight. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just days to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I mean, it took him just 6 days to make all that. But guess what? He's still working on little old me. And this is the case in your life too. You will never arrive in your Christian life. It will never stop being a struggle. Amen. It'll never stop being a fight. The Bible says to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what good soldiers do? They trust and they obey. You see, trusting and obeying is a hard thing, but it's not a complicated thing. The fact is tonight that simple and easy are in no way related to each other. You know, a lot of the times what God wants us to do is a simple thing. Oh, but it's not an easy thing. Amen? They're no way related. You know what the Christian life is? Trust and obey. So I thought of somebody, I was trying to think of somebody in the Bible that I could give as an example to this in your life about trusting and obeying. And there, if you read your Bible at all, and I trust that you do, you find out that all of God's servants in the Bible faced something in their life that they had to trust and obey God over. Amen? Because it's never an exception. We all are faced with trusting and obeying. And I was trying to think of somebody, and the person that I thought of was Abraham. Abraham, and we're just going to look at him as an example here in just a second tonight. But you think about the life of Abraham. The Bible says that he was a friend of God. Amen. He was a man, a righteous man. He was a friend of the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He knew the Lord. Amen. And I think about his life, and it started off with God calling him out into a land where he didn't know where he was going. Amen. God comes to him and he says, listen, Lot, or Abraham, I want you to get all your stuff. I want you to get your family and all your goods from your house, and I want you to leave this place. And I'm sure his natural inclination was to look at God and say, well, where do you want me to go? And he said, I'll show you. That's not very assuring. I don't know about you, but you know, somebody telling you to leave and go somewhere and they haven't told you where to go. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You know what he was supposed to do? He was supposed to trust and obey. But tonight in his specific case, I want to look at one chapter in the Bible and look at a few points here. And it's in Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. And we'll look at this tonight and go over a few points and be done and go home. Amen. But as far as the life of Abraham goes, this is probably the greatest crisis, the greatest trial that he would ever face. And if you've been in church for any time at all, you've heard this story preached about, amen. You've heard it preached on, amen. And it's Genesis chapter number 22. And we're just going to start reading in verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 1. This is the trial of Abraham. And the theme for the message tonight is trust and obey. Trust and obey. And I got to point this out too before I move on to this story, but you can go ahead and turn there. Think about these words, trust and obey. It's not trust, then obey. He didn't say trust, then obey. He said trust and obey. You know what that means? It means I'm obeying while I'm trusting. You see, what we want to do with God is, and I say we, every time I say that, I'm talking about myself, amen. I get down and pray about whatever is going on in my life. It doesn't matter what it is. And you all have something in your life too. And I try to give it to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I want to give this to you. I want to trust you for it. And then I get up and I want to see God answer it before I'm willing to obey what I've supposedly trusted Him about. Does that make sense? We want to know that it's going to be okay, but that's not what trusting and obeying is. Trusting and obeying is taking the step, not knowing what's happening next. Amen. Trust and obey. And this is going to come true in Abraham's life. Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. There again, it's trust and obey. He didn't tell him which mountain. He said, go and I'll tell you which mountain you're going to go to. It's trust and obey. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering. And rose up and went into the place of God, of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Verse number 6 says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. The King James Bible is intentional when it puts that verse like that, by the way. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So what we see here in the life of Abraham is the greatest trial that he would ever face. Amen. And can I tell you tonight, and I know you've heard this said 100 times over, either you're in a storm right now, you're coming out of a storm, or you're going into a storm, and Abraham is experiencing that very same thing in his life right here. It's the greatest trial he's ever faced. It's the greatest temptation he's ever faced. And it comes from God Himself, and God is wanting to know if Abraham is going to trust and obey. That's the theme of his life. It's the theme of your life. It's the theme of this message is trust and obey. And I'd like to say first of all about this, what we see about the trial of Abraham is that Abraham heard God's voice. He heard His voice. Verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." The fact is tonight, if you're going to be able to trust God and obey God, you're going to have to hear His voice. Amen. That's the first step to trusting and obeying, is hearing the Word of God. And the crux of it is this tonight. There is nothing more important in your Christian walk. There's nothing more in your important in your Christian life tonight than the leather-bound book that's laying in your lap tonight. Amen. It's the precious Word of God. It's what gives us strength. It's what gives us joy. It's what gives us assurance. It's hearing the Word of the Lord. And that's what Abraham started off by doing, is hearing God speak to him. Amen. Man, this Word of God is important in your life. I'll never forget, I remember things that I hear. Brother Chandler, he was talking about when he has to counsel people at his church. And he said every time that he has a problem with anybody at his church, whatever it's over, he brings them into his office and he sits them down and he asks them one question. The first question, he asks them the same question every time. Whether it's a family or whether it's an individual, whether it's kids, whether it's married people, this is what he asks them. Are you reading your Bible? And he said he gets the same answer every time. Not like I should. You know what that means? That means they ain't reading it at all. You know how you're going to trust and obey young people? How you're going to trust and obey old people? It doesn't matter who you are. The only thing that gives you the power to trust and obey is by hearing the Word of God. Now, when God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, you know, this is a voice that he had heard before. Amen. Don't you thank God for that? I thank God that His voice is a voice that I've heard before. Amen. When I open this Word of God and I read promises in the Bible like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You read verses like, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. I thank God that we have a Bible that doesn't change. I thank God that it's a voice I've heard before. Amen. And when He speaks my name, it's a voice that I've heard many times in my life. Many times in this sanctuary, whether it be through the singing or the preaching or whatever's going on, or whether it be through ladies' testimonies, the Spirit of God stirs in my heart and I can hear the voice of God speaking to my heart. You better thank God for that. It's a dangerous place in your life where you can no longer hear the voice of the Lord speaking in your life. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Are you in a place tonight where you can hear God's voice in your life? Amen. That's up to you. You see, what our life was filled with most of the time is just clutter and noise to where God can't get through to us if He's using a megaphone. And what most of us need to do is get rid of some of the distractions and listen for the voice of God in our life. Listen for His voice. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Abraham heard God's voice. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're ever going to trust and obey, you're going to have to hear the voice of the Lord in your life. Now, here's what we don't like about it. It says God spoke to Abraham, and the first thing that it says He said when He spoke to him is it said He tempted him. Amen. You know, this Bible is it's a double-edged sword in your life. And a lot of the time when I open this Bible and read it, it doesn't have very good things to say about me. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I generally like to think that I'm a pretty good fella. Amen. But that's not what the Bible has to say about it. He had to hear God's voice. If you're going to trust and obey, you've got to hear the voice of the Lord. Second of all, look in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. First of all, we see that Abraham heard God's voice. Second of all, I would like to say that we see a heartbreaking command. Amen. Don't you know that this had to contradict in Abraham's mind everything that God had told him before? I mean, just the chapter before, God comes to Abraham and he says, in Isaac, your son who you love, this is your seed. And your seed's going to be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. I mean, all of my promises are bound up in this boy. I mean, that's what God told him. And then he comes to him and says, you're going to have to sacrifice him on the mountain that I tell you of. Don't you know that's a heartbreaking command? Amen. I don't know about you, but I read my Bible and I hear messages preached and I amen the messages and I believe them to be true. But things happen in my life and I get down and I pray and I say, God, you said this. Amen. You ever do that with God? Just come clean, come honest with Him. Say, God, I don't know why you're doing this. I don't know what's going on in my life. And don't you know this is the way that Abraham felt? I mean, he's hearing the promises of God. He's dancing and shouting for victory one day. And the next day, God comes to him and wants to take the very thing away that he promised him. That's a heartbreaking thing, man. Amen. You ever had peace about something? And then it don't work out. It don't go the way that you planned for it to go. You ever had that happen? You know, it could be that God's trying to test you. Just like he was doing with Abraham. Notice that it says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. You know, God knew what he was asking Abraham to do. He said, yeah, it's your only son. Amen. We don't have to inform God about things that are going on in our life. But God, this is going on. He already knows what's going on. Amen. He already knows what's in your heart. He already knows the circumstance. And that's what he knew about Abraham. He knew what he was asking Abraham to do. And he also knew this. He says, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Take thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. You know what God was wanting to know about Abraham? He was wanting to know what was inside of his heart. He looked down inside of Abraham's heart and said, I know that you love this boy. So this is what I want. You know what God wants from you? It's not anything that you can put in your hands and give Him. Amen. God wants your heart. Yeah, amen. And the sad thing that I see in Christianity today, and I'm not one of these preachers, but you know, you hear preachers talk about going around the churches and it seems like church services are dead. I can't stand hearing that complained about, by the way, but anyways. And we worry so much about that. You know, why is God not moving in our midst? You know, God's not as interested in that as He is in your heart. Amen. Amen. You know how God moves in a church service is when there's a bunch of people gathered up together who God has their heart. That's right. Amen. That's what God wanted out of Abraham. He wanted his heart. He was going to take Isaac because Isaac was what was inside of his heart. Sure. Miss Cindy sings that song, Your Heart is Like a House. One day I let the Savior in, and there were many rooms, and there was that one room inside of the heart that the person would not let God go into, and that's exactly where God wants to get. It's deep inside of your heart. Amen. You know, it's a joy to watch. It's a joy to watch somebody who loves the Lord. You know what God wants tonight? He wants somebody that'll love Him. You know, you can impress all of us in here. I mean, you can sing the best, you can play the piano the best, you can preach the best, and you can impress all of us in here, but nothing impresses God tonight. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. He wanted to know what was in Abraham's heart, and he made a heartbreaking command. But I want you to notice something about what Abraham did. It says, and he said in verse number 2, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I mean, God's just laying it on him. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. In verse number 3, this is all it says about Abraham. I mean, he's just heard something that breaks his heart. Amen. In verse number 3, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men. We see immediate obedience. Amen. That's a good response to have, by the way. I don't know about you, but I know Jordan Forshee. And I know when God comes to me and says something like that, my first thing to do is throw up my hands and say, but God, I mean, come on. But we don't see that from Abraham. We see the response that God wanted, and it was immediate obedience. Amen. We're talking about trust and obey tonight. Trust and obey. Verse number 3, we'll move on through these points and be done. Amen. We're getting close to being done. You can amen that. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. I'd like to say next of all that there was going to be a hard climb ahead. Amen. A hard climb ahead. This is where not only trusting God comes into play, but it's trust and obey. Amen. And don't you know that every step he took up that mountain, I mean, he didn't reach any plateaus, by the way. There was no place to stop and rest. There weren't any rest areas on the way to the top of the mountain where he's supposed to give up his son. It was a hard climb. And this is where obedience is the hardest thing in your life that you will ever do when God makes something like this of you. It was a hard climb. You know that every step didn't get easier as he got to the top. It just got harder. Amen. And this is not the way that you and I like to look at life. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for things to get better. That's how I'm wired. But God doesn't always... You know, the reason we're like that is because we generally view things from a worldly perspective. You know why? Because you watch a movie, you know movies never end bad. Right? I mean, generally speaking. Right? I mean, the good guys always win. And that's how we like to think about life. Things are going to get better. The good guys are going to win. But you know, sometimes things in your life don't get better. And you know what you got to do? You know what Isaac had to do? He knew what was waiting for him at the top of the mountain, and he didn't want to do it. Amen. But you know what he had to do? He had to keep climbing. And it was a hard climb. It was a hard climb. I'd like to say next of all, though, that we see the hope that was inside of Abraham. The hope that was inside of Abraham. Verse number 3, it says, and Abraham rose up early. He had some hope, amen. He trusted God. It says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. In verse number 5, the Bible says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. I mean, God's just told him to offer his son up. He knows he's going to die, and he tells these men that him and his son are going to come back. You know, he didn't know what was going to happen. He was just going to obey God and have the faith in God that it was going to work out the way that God saw it was going to work out. Amen. He told him he was going to preserve his seed. So he had to obey. You know, he believed in something that had not happened yet, and it was the resurrection. You know what Abraham believed? Abraham believed that he was going to have to carry out this thing that God told him to do, and God was going to raise Isaac up, and him and Isaac were going to come back down the mountain. You know what that is? It's trusting and obeying. It's your life in a nutshell. Trust and obey. Abraham had a hope inside of him. Amen. Look in verse number 8. Verse number 7 and verse number 8. The Bible says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Again, this hope that's inside of Abraham rises up in verse number 8. And he says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know that Abraham didn't know that for sure, but he was just believing what God had told him would be the case. It's obeying what God told you. And I've heard this phrase all the time in my life. Never doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. Amen. You know His Word is still true. It's still true. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Amen. God's not as interested in our circumstances as we think He is. He's not as interested in our happiness as we think He is. You know what God wants? He wants that relationship from you. Just like He wanted from Abraham. Hope. That was inside of Abraham. Just a couple more things here. We'll finish right on time. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 11, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." I like that response, by the way. He's under the gun here. He's about to lift his hand up to slay his son. And God calls out to him again. You know Abraham's response in verse number 11, in the darkest hour of his life, was the same response as it was in verse number 1 before it happened. Can you say the same about yourself? And I'm thinking of myself. You know, when things are going good, it's easy for me to say, Lord, I'll do here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I feel like Isaiah. Here am I, send me. But then a trial comes my way. And a trial comes your way. And a trial came Abraham's way. And God still wanted to talk to him. And Abraham's response was just like it had always been. Here I am. Lord, my heart's broke, but here I am. All my dreams are getting crushed in front of me, but here I am. Amen. You know what a lot of people need to do? They need to get on their face somewhere in their prayer closet and on an altar and say, God, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter that things are falling apart. It doesn't matter that things are turning out the way that I want them to. Here I am. Here I am. Amen. I like that response. When's the last time? You know, sometimes we get down and pray. I get down and pray and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And if I did say anything, it probably wouldn't be the right thing to say. Because my heart's not in the right place. So you know what I have to do sometimes? I just have to get down on my knees and bow my head and say, God, I'm right here. I don't know what to do or what to say, but I'm here. It's a good response. I like Abraham's response. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any harm or anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son Isaac, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Man, what a good day. I'd like to say last of all, amen, that the hand was stopped and the ram was provided. You know, but Abraham didn't know that was going to happen. See, the theme of this message is trust and obey. And 99% of your life is doing this when you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Abraham didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And God knew His plan for him the whole time. You see, our responsibility, and Oswald Chambers talks a lot about this, our responsibility is not trying to figure out and handle and fix everything that we think should happen in our life. Our responsibility is being rightly related to Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, you know what you ought to pray? God, I want my heart to be right with You. Everything may not be right in my life, but I'm taken care of. Amen. It's trust and obey. In your life every day. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Just a couple of things I'll point out here and I'll be done. I'd like to point out to you that Abraham did indeed do what he told his young men he was going to do. He told the young man, he said, me and my son are going to go up, we're going to worship, and we're going to come back. You know that happened? Amen. I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart. God provided the sacrifice for him to worship with. I mean, Abraham thought he was going to have to lose everything, and God intervenes, and God steps in and gives him something to fulfill his promise to his young men to do. He said, we're going to go worship. You know what they did when God provided the ram? He slayed the ram, and he still worshiped God. Amen. But you know what? He planned on doing it either way. Whether it was the ram or whether it was his son, Abraham went up there to worship.
And I'll tell you what will fix a lot of your heartache tonight is just falling down on your face before Him and worshiping Him. Man, there's been times in my life where I did not have the answer. But what helped me and what encouraged me was just to worship God a little bit. I don't know, Miss Brooke and Miss Aubrey Ann used to sing the song, "When Everything Falls Apart, Praise His Name." When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, "Greater is He." You know what that is? It's worship. It's understanding that I don't know what the outcome is. I don't know what's going to happen. But God, I know You're still good. I know You're still worthy. I know You're going to provide. Everything's horrible right now, but I'm still going to worship You. Abraham was still worshiping either way. Even if he had to lose everything, he was still going to worship. You know what that is? It's trusting and obeying. That's why, you know, it was Brother Charlie, and this is something I admire about him, and he said he does it on purpose. Every time he sees people, you know what he tries to do? He tries to be the same person every time. Why? Because we all have stuff going on in our lives. But man, when you come into this place, when we come to this sanctuary, you know what it's time to do. And you know when my heart's broken, what helps me more than anything is to come in here with all my church family and to worship the Lord. You know what? I've seen, and this is just the truth, amen, out there on the reservation and even in our camp meeting. You know what I've seen fix more problems than any preaching is when people start worshiping God. How many times in camp meeting, man, God starts to move and people are going to the altar and nothing's being preached about, but yet somehow people are getting right with each other. How does that happen? It happens because of worship. Amen. You know, God inhabits our worship. It's not just something He receives from us. It's something that He dwells in Himself. That's why when these women start singing that song, Adoration, praise, 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 and start talking about who God is. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's merciful and He's mighty, amen. He's full of grace and mercy. He's faithful tonight. You know, when you start thinking about that, it will fix a lot of problems in your life. There's only one time, and I know I'm just rambling now, but this is on my heart. The only time that the Bible talks about having perfect peace, in Isaiah chapter number 24 and verse number 3, it says, "And He shall keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee." That's not thinking about it's going to be okay. It's really a shame to tell people that sometimes, because sometimes it just ain't going to be. But you know what perfect peace comes from? It comes from thinking about Him. Sure, you know, sometimes I come to church and I'm thinking about everything else in the world. But then somebody will get up and sing something. Or somebody will say something. Something will get preached. And I start thinking about Him. Oh, and it changes the whole outlook. Right. You know, there's a lot of people that it's been a long time since they've shed a tear. And you know why? Because it's probably been a long time since you've thought about Him.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Think about Him hanging on the cross for you. And all this stuff is coming to my mind now, so just bear with me. Don't you know Abraham, as he's about to pull that knife across Isaac's neck, and the greatest thing it ever had to do, the hardest thing it ever had to do, don't you know he was looking back on his life thinking about all the times that God came through? Amen. That's what gave him the power to do it. It's, I don't understand why I'm having to do this, but God, I know You've come through before. It's trusting and obeying. Are you trusting and obeying? And then after this story, in verses number 15 through 19, and I'm not going to read them. But after God puts Abraham through this great trial, and this trial was concerning the promise that He had made him, by the way. In Isaac, thy seed shall be called. Now He wants to take this very promise away from him. But Abraham passes the test. And in verse number 15 through 19, God comes back to Abraham, if you read it, and reassures him of His promise. He said, "I told you I'm going to do what I said I would do. I know it seemed impossible back there, but I'm here to tell you after the fact, I'm still going to do it." We sing that song in the choir. Well, the choir used to sing. We don't sing anymore.
But that song, you may be down and feel like God is somehow forgotten, that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. And just when it seems all hope is gone and you're going under, God has proven time and time again He'll take care of you. And that chorus goes on to say, and He'll do it again. He'll do it again. And just like Abraham, it says, just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. He's always come through for you. Amen. He'll do it again. The lady sang that song this morning, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. And that chorus says, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Over and over and over again. God proves Himself. Amen. But that's the theme of your life. It's trusting and obeying. But it's not glamorous. And it's not easy. But it's what God has called each and every single one of us to do. And it's to trust Him and obey Him. Father, I want to thank You for Your mercy in our lives, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness and Your provisions, Lord. And I pray, God, tonight that You would put it in our hearts to trust You with all of our hearts, Lord, and obey You. And just thank You, Lord, for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen.